Live for Barely Legal in Web3, I'm Jamelia Greer. The United States House of Representatives has passed a bill that would ban TikTok if it's not sold to a U.S. company. The bill passed on Wednesday with 352 representatives voting in favor of the proposed law and 65 of them voting against it. This is not the first time that TikTok has found itself front and center of policy issues in the United States. Ever since 2018, when the app started gaining popularity among U.S. users, there have been a whole host of issues that it was confronted with. First, in November of 2019, CFIUS, otherwise known as the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, launched a national security review of ByteDance's acquisition of Musical.ly. That's the app that later became TikTok. Then in August of 2020, President Donald Trump issued an executive order banning transactions with TikTok and WeChat, citing national security concerns. Those orders set deadlines for TikTok's operations to cease unless they were sold to a U.S.-based company. Now, after that executive order was put into place, we had Microsoft bidding to acquire TikTok's U.S. operations in September of 2020. So as you can see, there is a historical pattern of the U.S. government, or at least parts of the U.S. government, wanting a U.S. company to own TikTok. Now, also in September of 2020, TikTok sued the Trump administration over the executive order challenging its constitutionality. Then, a couple of months later, the Trump administration granted ByteDance, remember that's the parent company of TikTok, a 15-day extension to divest its TikTok assets. Then, a month later, in December of 2020, the Trump administration granted ByteDance another extension until after the inauguration of President Joe Biden. When we get to June of 2021, President Joe Biden revoked and replaced the executive orders that were issued by Trump, but then he initiated a broader review of security risks posed by certain apps like TikTok. This is essentially where we have been up until this point. There has been a review, there has been coordination among federal agencies about apps like TikTok. So what we see now and what happened on Wednesday It's not really different from what we've been seeing over these past few years. And mind you, as of today, on March 16th, it has only passed the House of Representatives. It is with the Senate, but it is going slow. The vote is going slow and the discussion is going slow. We don't know what will happen. There are so many layers to this issue, both from a policy perspective and from a legal perspective, and from a regulatory perspective. Firstly, it's very important to note that technology and data are regulated and controlled heavily by both the United States and China. And I mention China in this because TikTok's parent company is ByteDance, which is a Chinese company. Now, putting aside all of this discussions around whether TikTok's data is accessible or provided to or can be demanded by ByteDance, it's important to just focus on the control of technology and data by any government, which is usually enforced by trade controls. So for those of you that don't know, trade controls in the United States are basically governed by the Export Administrative Regulations, that's EAR. They're also governed by ITAR, which is International Traffic in Arms. And those regulations set out a framework about what technology and what data can be exported outside of the United States. They are longstanding regulations. They apply to a whole host of industries, and they are now increasingly being applied to TikTok's U.S. operations, not in the way that you would suspect, but more so in the way of the software side. The counterpart to that is that the Chinese government also has trade controls and regulations in place to govern and ensure that certain technology and data that was created from within China stays in China. So this idea of controlling data or technology that has originated from within a country is not new. And it is within the scope of what governments around the world do. And I think it's important to note that as you approach the issue of what's happening with TikTok and why it might be banned. Now, I think from a fairness perspective, it's also important to note that the Chinese government has very strict controls around what US social media companies are allowed to do within China. And it's heavily restricted, which is why Google is not really operating within China. And so now you may say, Jamilia, yes, but that's China. And I appreciate that, you know, my perspective on this is very different. I've lived outside of the US for many, many years, and I've had the benefit of looking at issues from the perspective of being an American located in different countries, whether it was located in China or Singapore or now Dubai. The important thing to note is that all countries, every single country, it is within their interest to protect the data and the technology that originates from it. So in the case of TikTok, what I see, or one of the arguments, I guess you could say, is that, and this is the argument that the US government is putting forward, is that they are attempting to control the data of their citizens and to ensure it's not accessible outside of the US. Now, that on its face is funny and interesting because the US does not have a federal privacy law, a federal data privacy law. And so one of the arguments I've seen raised on Twitter, of course, and from other places, from other senators and legislators is, let's not do this in a piecemeal fashion. Let's not attack just one social media company. Let's put in place an overall, overarching data privacy sort of framework to ensure that we're not just focusing on one company. We focus on overall what's happening with our citizens' data. Secondly, when you talk about data privacy, and we've talked about the general control of technology and data being within the scope of any country to govern and to set up regulatory frameworks for, but when you talk about data privacy in and of itself, countries have different motivations and different spirits or intents of their data privacy framework. EU has a very comprehensive framework, which we call GDPR, for their data privacy regulations. The spirit or intent of the European Union's GDPR is individual rights. We are putting this in place so that you have control over your data as an EU citizen, and so that you are able to control who you give it to, how it's maintained, what it says. You can revoke that privilege, you can ask for records of that, and so on and so forth. That is the spirit or intent, which is based upon their idealism. China has data privacy regulations in place, which are based upon national security. All of the laws that are created to protect the data and the privacy rights of Chinese citizens are generally based upon the idea that this data belongs to the Chinese government. It does not belong to an outside party. And so when you look at data privacy frameworks, you have to realize that they are created with different spirits or different intents in place. So the issue that the United States is facing right now is it itself has not identified what is the spirit or intent of its own data privacy standpoint. We don't know if the US government doesn't want TikTok to be operational within the US because it's concerned about, it has national security concerns. It's concerned about China having access to the data. From everything that we hear in the media, it sounds like that's what they're saying. No one has said yet, at least I haven't heard, and I would love for anyone who's listening to correct me if I'm wrong, I have not yet heard a legislator stand up and say, this is to protect your individual right because you have the power and control over your data and we feel like it's not being used in the way that you should see fit. It's very different So the fundamental issue that the United States is having right now is that it itself has not identified what its standpoint is on data privacy. Is it coming from the spirit or intent of national security, or is it coming from the spirit or intent of individual rights? Now, we've talked about national security in the context of trade controls. We've talked about data privacy and the lack of any kind of direction for spirit or intent. We haven't talked about the economic impact of this. And I think it's very important to look at what is being proposed in the bill is that there is an option for the U.S. operations of TikTok to be acquired by a U.S. company. And I mentioned at the beginning of the segment that Microsoft did propose to buy TikTok in 2021, and that didn't go through. And now in the time of AI, where we know that AI is driving a lot of the investment, it's driving a lot of the money flows in innovation, it's very interesting that this is not a flat-out ban, right? So once again, we go back to what is the intent. If you are a government and you feel as though there is a technology that is infringing upon the national security, you probably would just want to ban it, right? I don't know if a U.S. company acquiring TikTok would 100% destroy any national security risk. So the question becomes, why is there an economic incentive? Why is there an economic door, shall I say? Why is there this hint of, well, you could sell it? That is very interesting to me. And once again, we haven't even gotten into what is the technology that TikTok has and is using that makes it so appealing. When you look at the software, the app itself, many people don't really understand or appreciate what it is, what it does, what its algorithm is building upon. So for those of you that don't know, I'm on TikTok. Okay, let's just say that. I'm on TikTok. Go find it. I don't care. It's fine. I post, you know, all sorts of stuff on TikTok. It's my creative space. And that's me knowing exactly what the app is and what the technology and the data potentially could be used for. But at this point, I feel as though there's so much data out there about us that we're all in it. So for those of you that haven't used TikTok and don't know much about how it works, basically you post a short form video, you have options to add hashtags, you have options to recreate a video based upon a trending audio, which also creates another sort of data set. And you basically are playing a game. I'd like to think of it as a game to see how viral your video can go. At least that's the intent for most of the creators on TikTok. Some people are just creating because they want to create. So the question is, how does this algorithm work? And what is the technology behind it? We're not even talking about the data being collected now. So separate data and technology. Let's just focus on the technology of the app itself. I have had times when I open the app and the first video that I see is a video of someone that looks like me doing something that I was just doing when my phone was off. Now, some of you may say, oh, that's just a coincidence. I don't think it is. I think the app has learned a lot about my behavior, about what I like, about what I do at certain times of day, about who I'm around when I'm posting. I've had times where I'm sharing videos with someone who also has the app, meaning they're standing next to me and the app is open and I'm sharing videos. And a video that I normally wouldn't like, but they would like, will appear on my FYP. And for those of you that don't know, FYP is a For You page. That is not a coincidence, right? It's potentially able to check my GPS location and another user's GPS location and understand that we may be using the app. I may be showing them videos on the app or want me to share particular content with that person. because they have that person's information about what they like, and they have my information about what I like, and it wants to promote the sharing. We don't really understand, and I don't think there's enough information out there for us all to understand exactly how the technology works. Now on to the data. It is a no-brainer that the app is collecting boatloads of data about its users in ways that, once again, we don't fully understand. So we talked about data collection in the sense of where you are, what you like, etc. We haven't talked about psychological data collection, which has to do with how much time you spend watching a particular video. You have to understand that people are on this app for hours. They may pick up their phone, pick up the app, on and off. The historical data of how long you spend on any particular video can create other data, assumptional data, about you, who you are, and what you like. So my point is that there is value in the app, for sure. And that value may be, and probably is, much more than anyone who is outside of the circle of what's really going on can appreciate. So it's important to really notice that there is a huge economical and market impact in terms of the ban on TikTok, and even more so, the potential for it to be sold to a U.S. company and how that would change the competitive landscape in the social media arena, not just the social media arena, but in this age of artificial intelligence. I could literally go on for much, much longer and talk about what I think are some of the political implications of even a proposed ban on TikTok, what it means for U.S.-China relations, what it means for U.S. policy, et cetera, et cetera. But I think at the end of the day, we all need to realize that as users of the app, your data is part of the product. And once again, this is coming from someone that uses the app. Any app that you use, any social media app that you use, you should understand that the content that you are creating, you don't own it. It's part of their product, and it's being used to generate revenue and value for them. And I thought what was very telling, I listened to TikTok CEO's message on TikTok a couple of days ago, and the entire message was directed to the users. The entire message was encouraging the users to continue to support the app, highlighting the fact that the company does quite a bit of work to keep U.S. data safe and to keep U.S. data protected, which I think that topic is above the head of 85% of the users in terms of what TikTok actually does and how effective their measures are. That's a whole nother podcast. And if anybody who has worked at TikTok or who is in this space would like to talk about that, I'd be very open to having a conversation about that. He talks about 300,000 jobs being in jeopardy if TikTok is banned. He doesn't talk about the potential of selling to save those jobs, but he just talks about if we're banned, 300,000 jobs are at risk. We have over 8 million users that are on the platform, and we've been creating a positive social impact for you, Americans, for you. And so you need to write your senators, write your representatives, and tell them that you do not want this app banned. The narrative is all around banning the app, not around the potential sale of the app to a U.S. company. From what I hear from many American users on TikTok, they feel as though this ban is the U.S. government's attempt to somehow prevent them from sharing information across diverse audiences. And for those of you who, you know, live in the U.S., you probably can attest to the fact that sometimes if you're in one social circle, you don't really commingle with other social circles that much. A Black American living in New York maybe wouldn't have a friend who's white and from Texas. And someone who's conservative may not necessarily be good friends with someone who's liberal. And the United States is somewhat of a fragmented place in that respect. And so U.S. users, their argument is that they are upset that the banning of this app is a conversation on the political stage in domestic U.S. policy, but yet there's no conversation about healthcare. There's no conversation about guns. There's no conversation about the poor educational system in the United States. And so there is a lot of disgruntlement from U.S. users. Once again, we'll have to wait and see. I'm going to tell you right now what my guess is. I really don't think it will be banned. I can be 100% wrong, but because of the fact that it is going slow in the Senate, makes me think that there are conversations going on to squash this. And because there has been this discussion for years now, things come up, they go away, they come up, they go away. I don't think that there will be a full-out ban on TikTok. Once again, I could be totally wrong. I can come back in a week and say I was wrong. That'd be totally fine. But I think if they were going to ban it, it would be banned. And I think that an 80% vote of a ban in the House shows that there's not a healthy discourse on it, which shows that it could potentially just be for show. You have to think about how the U.S. political system works. Issues that are of great importance and that generally pass are heavily debated, heavily debated. And so for something to not be debated, but to just be put through in a bipartisan manner, like, yes, this is what we're going to do, fine, it kind of is telling that maybe they don't think it's actually going to become law, so there's no need to really talk about it. So they just put it through, put it to the Senate, and let the real negotiations begin on the back end. Let's see. I could be totally wrong. We'll see. At any rate, on Barely Legal in Web3, I like to talk about these things in order to highlight those issues that are on ethical fringes, legal fringes, common misconceptions that people can have about technology. If you have a viewpoint on this, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter, at Jamelia Greer. You can also go to our main page, which is BiteBow Official on Twitter. Follow us there. And I look forward to hearing from you guys. Stay safe out there in those crypto streets.